Good morning, everyone. How we doing? All right, that's what I want to hear, at least from you.
The Lord Jesus deserves our praise. Would somebody simply agree? When two or more gathered in His name, He said there He would be. I want a second of motion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. If you don't stand up for what is right, you're gonna fall for anything. Oh, yes. Come on and cast your votes for Jesus Christ. Claim Him as your King. I want a second demotion and carry out the Father's plan. So if you love my Jesus, let me see your hand. If you love my Jesus, take a stand. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye. Can I get a witness to testify for the Lord? Someone who is not ashamed. All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, say aye.
All in favor, say aye.
Say aye.
All in favor. All in favor, say aye.
Say aye.
All in favor.
All in favor, say aye. Do you love Him? All in favor, all in favor, all in favor. All in favor, say aye.
Yeah. Tamara, that was a, ooh. That's the voice. It was good today. Very good.
Thank you.
We're missing a few people. Bernie's brother lost his battle with cancer, but he won his award. Went to heaven. So he was ready to go meet the Lord. And so Rob is with the Lord, and Bernie and Tom are up there. We'll just pray for them that God will continue to touch them. And, you know, we haven't prayed for the last week. I was talking about Joe this last week because we had so much stuff going on this week that we're going to share a bit in the service. But we need to lift up the Tinoco Show. Remember them. You know, that God's just going to surround them with their love. Joe was awful close with his mother. And I understand, you know, when we have these family members and they go out, it's a tough thing. But we don't mourn as those who have no hope. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to lift up so many different people today. It's also good to have Uncle Gene and my cousin Vicky. See, the Hamner Hogue connection. I married a Hogue. I'm a Hamner. I married a Hogue. So we had the Hamner Hogue. She became a Hamner. So I had my cousin Vicky that I love dearly, and she was single, and Uncle Gene was single, and Denise's Uncle Gene, and so he's a Hogue and she's a Hamner, and we brought them together. And they got married. So my cousin became my aunt through marriage. They're confusing. And I'm telling you, I love Uncle Gene, and they supported our ministry. They still continue to support this ministry. And we wouldn't have this theater if it weren't for Gene and Denise's dad and Uncle Warren. I give them a hand because of that we're here able to meet on a Sunday morning and share the good news of Christ because of what they've done. We love the hope. Now, they got a little dog with them, so I think the dog accepted the Lord, so I think we're good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and remember the families this week that lost so much. Lord, we thank you that you're a living God. We can call on you night or day or in the midst of a storm, and you're there. And I pray, Lord God, that you will bless these families that lost so much, especially the Coleman family. 9 souls and their family in one day. But I pray that you'll surround them with your Holy Spirit and the love, especially Tia that's here in our hospital and struggling with all this. But Lord, she has your peace upon her. And what she shared, we know where her heart is. And I pray, Lord God, that you will just bless her and just encourage her today. And Lord, for this town that seems to be struggling with this, Lord, I pray that today, even in our service and what we say and what you share with us, will lift us up. And I pray, God, that we will be people that are people of faith and not people of this world. Because this world passes away and fades away. But you live forever and you go on forever. And I pray that we will be part of you. So bless us as we share today. Encourage our lives. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, shake someone's hand and say, God bless you. God bless you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. I need it.
Frenchie. You want one? Do you need it to hold in your hand? Okay, that's good enough. Don't want you to get too terribly friendly. Who knows? You might end up at Steak and Shake or something this afternoon. Steak and Shake kind of changed their menu. Not that I want to promote anybody, but we went over the other day. I can't believe it. Huh? I don't know. They're different stuff. Okay. It's good to have Gary Dooms in the house with us today. Gary's going to come and play and share a little bit. What are you going to play for us today, brother? Oh, let's make him feel welcome. Gary. Oh, you're going to be in that heavenly band up there someday, you know. You're going to really be squawking away, man, I'm telling you. I love that. Good job, Gary. Love that. Love it, love it. Oh, we have Forrest here. Forrest is one of our own. I baptized Forrest.
You did?
He wasn't the smallest guy ever baptized. But you've lost some weight, so that's a good thing. You know?
It didn't help you out then, though.
Nah, it didn't help me out then. But it was okay. We got through it. We went into the deep end.
We did.
So I didn't have to go as far.
I was able to float more.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna sing a couple of songs for us today.
I'm gonna sing a couple songs.
All right. You work right here in our theater, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with the Conway Remembered. You're next door at the IMAX with George Jones. And you got other stuff, Statler Brothers, I guess.
Statler Brothers.
Yeah. It's good to have you here, brother.
It's good to be here.
Okay, so what are you going to do for us?
I'm doing I Dreamed I Drove the Nails and Clinging to a Saving Hand.
Oh, these are good ones. Forrest, right there.
The sermon that evening was John 3:16. How they crucified Jesus, a sinner like me. I wondered how could a man be so cruel and mean. And I got the answer that night in my dream. I dreamed I drove the nails. I swung the hammer up on Calvary's hill. With His blood on my hands, my teardrops fell. Yes, I dreamed I drove the nails. Over and over, I thought of that dream and the message that God was sending. In that nightmare I shared the guilt and the blame. But each nail that was driven bears all of our names. I dreamed I drove. I swung the hammer up on Calvary's hill. With His blood on my hands, my teardrops fell. Yes, I dreamed I drove the nails. Yes, I dreamed I drove the nails. Sing me a song of praise and glory.
morning, sing me a song of praise and glory. Help this wondering child to understand that when I close my eyes and sleep eternal, I'll be clinging to a saving hand. I'll be clinging to a saving
and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen man. All around, all the nations bow down to see. The only sound is the praises to Christ, our King. Slowly the names from the book are read. So there's no need to dread. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praise to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. See over there, there's a mansion that's prepared just for me, where I will live with my Savior eternally. And there will be no more night, no more pain, no more tears, never cry again and praise.
Amen. Good job, Pam. Now that wasn't easy today. Oh. So when you go home, you can tell everyone you were in church on your vacation. How many of you are visiting today? A number of you. Let's give them a great big hand. Thank you for coming today. It's been a rough week on Old Branson this week. Some of you have followed and read and seen what was going on. Some of you weren't here yet and maybe saw it on the news. I've had family members calling me and saying, what the heck is going on out there? We had a tough time. And I think it affected everybody. Some of the people described their feelings like 9/11. Very close to home with us here. And losing some Branson family members even. Some of the people even that a lot of us knew. I was thinking about it. And this all hit during our show. I think it was Thursday evening. And they were talking about a boat that went down just as we were getting ready to do our show. And, of course, we had to concentrate in the show. And the people are here. And so my mind was kind of scattered that evening through. And we're getting reports about what was going on. And the boat capsized, I said, at one point. And then it just went down, was swamped and went down. And then they were talking about lost souls. And it was a tough evening Thursday night. And then Friday morning, I was listening and reading and going online about the different families. And the one family that lost 9 people. I can't really even understanding losing one. It's tough. We've all lost a loved one. Some of us have lost a loved one to a tragedy in our lives. And it was so difficult to go through the time. I don't think I can fathom 9 members of a family. And a close-knit family at that. And then I was brushing my teeth. Just brushing my teeth Friday morning. And I just broke down. Thinking about the family. One was a 1-year-old. One was a 2-year-old. And I start thinking, God, where were you? I mean, this had to pass your desk at some time. Where were you? And then the body count rose, 17 people. And, you know, it was the weirdest thing. I kind of allowed this depression to kind of come over me. Yeah, pastors are prone to that too. You know, Charles Spurgeon, one of the best preachers that we've ever had, was prone to depression. Some of the greatest preachers and men of God, prone to depression. I kind of allowed it to set in. I shouldn't have, but I kind of allowed it. Until I really started reevaluating who was in the boat. Who was in the boat? Who was out there when this happened? The news wants to fixate and major on the loss of life. It's true. That makes the news, folks. It does. Tragedy like that. Immediately we had a list out, or at least it seemed like it, the next day, of all the souls that were lost. And sure enough, the Coleman's name came up 9 times on that list. And then, of course, we lost our very own Bob Williams, who brought tours to this theater because he was a tour guide, and his wife works over at Sight and Sound. And there were others on this list, of course, and I'm missing them, but they were there. But never once did a list come up of the survivors. Have any of you seen one list of the 14 souls that were saved and pulled out of the water? No. They throw their names out every once in a while, but there was not a list. I Googled it several times, and I even Googled it this morning to make sure I wasn't wrong. Google isn't always right. But I did not find a list of names of people that lived through it. Sometimes in this life we major on the negative instead of what God did out there in the water and saved 14 souls and lives. Tia Coleman in a hospital, talking from her hospital bed, said as she was drowning, and her whole family was drowning around her. She's talking this way. And there's this calmness to this sweet little lady. And I know where that calmness comes from, folks. And she said she was praying to the Lord the whole time. There's where the calmness comes from. She's a Christian, see? She's praying to the Lord. Just go ahead and take me too, Lord, because I can't keep on drowning like this. I can't continue. Just go ahead and take me on home. And right about that time, somebody grabbed her and pulled her out of the boat. She floated up to safety. I don't think she knows who did it, but she's alive today. And there's a reason that little lady's alive. I start thinking once again about the 17 souls that were lost, and I looked at them. Do you know there were two preachers on that boat? And I believe this Coleman family were Christians. There's a lot of souls that knew Christ on that boat. You may think, well, why didn't God save him? Why didn't he just take him right there and save them all? Bring the boat up. He took him to heaven. The little 1-year-old, little 2-year-old. We know they're in the arms of the Lord. Brother Bob Williams, he was a strong Christian. Associate pastor over here at one of our churches. Went to Bible college. Loved the Lord. And everyone says there was not a more loving man than Bob Williams. He's with the Lord right now. There was a preacher from Arkansas, a Smith, and his son that was 15 years old. And son was preparing for ministry also. The preacher's wife opted out of going on the boat ride. And Pastor Smith is with the Lord, and his son is with the Lord right now. We look at the negative in this world, and we look as humans, we see bad stuff, and that bad stuff kind of sucks us in and drags us down, doesn't it? Instead of looking at the reality and the truth of it all. 17 souls may have been lost to this world out in Table Rock Lake, but those 17 souls gained heaven. And 14 lives made it out of the depths of the water. And they're alive today to talk about it and to share their story. Tamara sang that song about no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. The Bible tells us that we do grieve. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. I was thinking about this today driving in. How does the atheist cope with a tragedy like this? They don't. When someone is lost. They're annihilated. Never to be heard from again. In their estimation, we know the truth. That there is heaven. That there is life beyond this life and this world. And everyone that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they make the right choice. and they make it to heaven. So guess what? You've won already. You may lose your life in this world and during this time, but you gain eternity in heaven. And that's what this book of the Revelation is all about. It's about what goes on forever and ever. It's giving a blueprint of what's to take place. And who to give it to? Better qualified than the one that was the closest to Jesus Christ himself, John the Apostle. That was the closest person. Jesus comes and gives him this incredible vision when he's 90 years old. This poor little guy, he's out there working in the day in the rock quarry because he's in a Roman penal colony. He's working in the daytime and doing the best he can to survive out there. And he gets these visions. And God tells him, you have to write this down. Record this so that people know the truth. And this is why we have this wonderful book, the book of the Revelation. Chapter 21, the book of the Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. It's like science fiction, for goodness sake. This is a city in the sky. It's like the mothership. We talked about that before. Coming to earth. It's heaven, folks, the New Jerusalem. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God will be joined with all of us. We will see him. We will move together with him. He's going to be our God. Verse 4, it's Tamar saying, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. No more death. We can't even fathom that as human beings, because we live with death every day. Even our bodies every day is in the process of dying. Something's going out on us every day. Really. Some of you are nodding your head because you know exactly what I'm talking about. I've talked to poor little Soji. She's got that sciatica thing, and I've had it before. Starts up in the hip and runs all the way down your leg. You can barely even lift the leg up. I asked a lady when I got it. I was in my 50s. I said, "What? How do you get sciatica?" You know what she said? Old age. Old. Well, guess what? We're not going to get old anymore, folks. When we go into eternity, there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more death. That's the big one. No more loss in our lives, that emotional, fearful cringing that we get. Because death is our mortal enemy. And when there's no more death anymore, all that fear and anxiety, it goes away. You know, as Christians, I don't think we necessarily fear death. It's the painfulness of going through. We think about these poor souls that suffering and drowning. It's horrible. You all thought that same thing, I think, when they struggled. We didn't want them to go through the struggle. Amen? That's why Tia said, just take me now, Lord, just take me. So I wouldn't have to go through the struggle. No more death. It's a beautiful thing. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I'll make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God, Jesus is giving this to John, and he's sitting there awestruck by everything he's thinking. And I think he gets awestruck by this fact. There's going to be no more death. And he says, no more death, no more pain. He lived in constant pain. They put him into burning oil. They persecuted John. They did. So he had to live in constant pain because of the torture he went through. No more pain, no more suffering, no more death. And he's sitting there with his jaw dropped. And Jesus is saying, write. Don't forget, you've got to write this down. Don't just see it. People have got to be able to understand and read it. Write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am an Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This happened previously to when the New Jerusalem comes down. As Tamar is saying, we have nothing to fear. Her name is written in the book of life. We know the King. We have nothing to fear, nothing to dread. But those that are habitually, continually living in sin, they have everything to be afraid of because they don't know the Lord. And if they're with Satan, they're going to be with Satan where he spends eternity. Bible says you can't serve two masters. If you serve Satan, you're going to be with him. If you serve the Lord, you'll be with him. It makes sense. I made that stupid illustration one day. We're playing for our team. I'm a Cougar. I played for the Phoenix Christian Cougars. I did. We came up against one of our arch rivals and played him. And their mascot happened to be the Tiger. The Gilbert Tigers, Gilbert, Arizona. Didn't like those guys. They were pretty tough rivals. I respected them, but I didn't really like them because I wanted to beat them, and they were tough. It's like me taking my jersey, Cougars, Phoenix Christian High School, and going over to their sideline in the middle of the game saying, hey, you know what? Do you have an extra jersey I could use? Taking my jersey off and putting on their jersey and wanting to play for the team that I didn't like, and probably didn't like me. And yet, so many times we as Christians, we want to play for the wrong team, and we want to play for the team that doesn't like us really, and we want to play for the team that really doesn't care about us, Satan's team. We take off God's jersey and put on Satan's jersey. You say it makes no sense. We're not loyal. Yeah. But when you sin continually and habitually, you're being loyal to your master. Those people that do that are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. It's straightforward, black and white. There's no gray area here. You're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. You're going to be with your master. That's the second death. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So this angel, that was all about fulfilling God's judgment on the earth previously, the last set of judgments before the millennial kingdom was set up, that thousand-year period of reign where Jesus Christ establishes his kingdom, is ruling here on this planet. That same angel that poured the vials out and judged the earth is the same angel now that is taking John by the hand and going to present and show him the bride of the Lamb, the bride of Christ. Of course, we know that the bride of Christ is the church, the believers. And where do they dwell? In heaven. They're in that satellite city above the earth, the New Jerusalem. And this angel takes him and says, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, where they dwell. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. An awesome sight. Having the glory, verse 11, of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear and crystal. I remember the Apostle John. He was there with Jesus. And Jesus, remember, told them all, the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is the night in which he was betrayed, right after the Last Supper. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you like a bridegroom receives his bride. That's the same concept, the same verbiage, the same language. As a bride receives, as the bridegroom receives his bride. That where I am, there ye may be also. You're going to dwell with me as my bride. And as John is seeing this, and when that angel says, come, I'm going to show you the bride of the Lamb. All this, coming back to his remembrance. And his angel takes him up on a mountain. You get better view from the mountain. Remember when Satan was tempting Christ, he took him up on the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms and all that stuff? Yeah, well. Now, this angel is taking John up in the mountain so he gets a real clear picture of this. And it's the vision in the spirit. And he's seeing this as it happens. The holy Jerusalem, the holy city, descending out of heaven from God. That place that is prepared for all of us. That mansion is coming down to the earth. Having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious. Even like a jasper stone. Clear as crystal. What is the stone? All right, ladies, you're going to know this. What's a girl's best friend? There you go. Diamond. It's probably one of the most precious stones, if not the most precious stone. Depends on the carat, depends on the cut, and depends on the purity. My wife knows all this stuff. I know nothing about these things. My wife can take one of those little eyeglass things. She can look at it and she goes, oh, there's a couple flaws in it. I go, where? She'll point at this. I know nothing about gems and precious stones. But this new Jerusalem, the holy city, is coming down to earth. It's where all the believers live. All those that have put their faith and trust in the Lord. From the Old Testament times to the New Testament times, it's all right there. It's coming down to the earth. And it looks like jasper. And jasper, according to most of the commentators, is a diamond. Sparkly. Radiant. It's crystal. Now, this is where it gets kind of strange, folks. It's crystal. You can see through it. I didn't really understand that, but I had to study it and look at it. Sure enough, most of these commentators believe the New Jerusalem is clear. That you can see through it. Do you know why the commentators believe that? And there's some more language here in a few minutes to talk about it. Because they say that in heaven and in eternity, no one has anything to hide from anyone. What do we have to hide from? Or have our privacy from? Everything changes, doesn't it? The New Jerusalem coming down. Precious, even like a jasper stone. Clear. It's crystal. Clear means you can see through it. It's not opaque. You can see through it. Verse 12. And it had a wall great and high. And it had 12 gates. And at the 12 gates, 12 angels. And names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. And on the north, 3 gates. And on the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. 12 gates. Going in to the New Jerusalem, the holy city. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So over these gates, we have the 12 names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the foundations down here at the bottom of these gates, which are the foundations of the wall, the names of the 12 apostles of Christ. They say, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Because it's the marrying of the Old and the New Testament, the Old Covenant, the New Testament coming together here. Finally, God, all of Israel, which, let's face it, through Israel, we are blessed through Abram. We are blessed, right? Because that's where Christ came, through the tribe of Judah. And we are blessed. And the Bible says all the nations of the world will be blessed. Why? Through the chosen nation of Israel. I was thinking about that today or yesterday when I was studying this. What made them so special? The 12 tribes? What made Israel so special? What made them so special? And then the Calvinists are going to come along. Oh, God just chose a man out of nowhere. No. There was a reason He chose them. You know what the reason is? When I look at the history of Israel, even though they made so many horrible, magnanimous mess-ups and bad choices with the kings, with the idolatry, out of all the nations of the world, they had the most, now not all of them, but the most people that still loved God and believed in God, see? It's because their heart was willing to serve God. Even in the Old Testament, they loved God. David said, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. He was just one of many that loved God with his whole heart. God picked them and chose them. And they're the chosen people because He looked into their souls and saw a heart that would be willing to serve Him. Now, not all the time. True. And many of them turned their backs on Him. But out of all the nations of the world, they were the one nation that would be willing to make God their God. And now, when the New Jerusalem comes down, God is coming down and He's right there with them all. And He wants to remind them that 12 tribes, that we're all blessed through them. And He put the 12 apostles at the bottom of the New Jerusalem. Why is that? To remind us, too, of that New Testament. And through the blood of the martyrs, we came to faith. Really, folks, it's because of them that we're sitting here today. Like I said, watch that movie, Paul the Apostle. Watch it. And it's through the blood of all of them, even the Apostle Paul, that we're sitting here today and studying it. He wrote 3/4 of our theology in the New Testament. We know about Jesus and we know about God a lot more. Thank goodness for the Apostle Paul and what God did in his life. 12 apostles are going to be, so we'll never forget what they did for us. And it's once again the marriage of the old and the new covenant coming together in the New Jerusalem. There it is. There it is. Verse 15. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. The golden reed, everything's kind of gold, so I understand that. Who's me? Well, it's John. It reminds us of in the book of Ezekiel, the Son of Man, which was Ezekiel back then, had to measure the millennial temple, as it were, and he had to measure the temple that was being built actually during the millennium. And then we also have John also measuring in Revelation 11:1 the tribulational temple. There'll be a tribulational temple, then there'll be a millennial temple. And so it's kind of similar to that. Now we're having John. This is the second time now. Okay, get that readout and measure this city. We want to know how big this thing. How big is the New Jerusalem? How large is it? And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof in the wall. And the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Okay, 12,000 furlongs. How big is that? Pretty big. Stadia in the Greek, which means about 607 feet is a stadia or a furlong. So if you really want to get real technical and crunch the numbers down, it's 1,380 miles in each direction. We talked last week about 1,500 miles. They rounded off. But no, it's we got to be correct. 1,380 miles. The New Jerusalem is not a small little city. 1,380 miles. 1,380 miles. 1,380 miles. 1,380 miles. The length and breadth and the height are equal. Now, some people tried to turn this into a ziggurat or a Mayan temple or a big pyramid, huge pyramid. No, no. Most of the conservative Bible scholars debunk that. They say that all of those pagan type of temples, pyramids, especially at the top, where they worship the sun god or other deities, hosts of heaven or whatever. The Tower of Babel was probably a ziggurat where they were trying to worship other gods and everything. But this is pretty depictive. It's a cube. It's not a pyramid shape. Did you hear what I said? 1,380 miles, 1,380 miles, 1,380 miles, 1,380 miles up. That's a big city. It's like if you started here at Springfield and it landed at Springfield and the edge of it was Springfield, it would make it almost all the way out to California. Now think about that. Almost halfway across the country, almost, you know, that way. You say, I can't fathom it. I can't even imagine. Yeah, it sounds like science fiction. Sounds like something that's totally beyond us. You know why? Because it is beyond us, right? It's supernatural. It's God. God doing this and making it. If he can speak into existence a world out of nothingness, he surely can do this. Then it says this, verse 6, 17. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man that is of the angel. Okay, so wait a second. He just told us that the height of it is 1,380 miles. So now he's measuring the wall. And most of the scholars came right to the conclusion. The thickness of the wall. How thick is that wall? You know, I was reading about Jericho. I say, I wonder how thick Jericho was. It's supposed to be impregnable, you know, that It was thick, and it was only like 6 or 7 feet. And they had two of those. So 12 feet? Really? Really? They measure this one. And this one's pretty thick. And it says that this thickness of the wall, and once again, this wall, it's not so much about the thickness, it's about what God is doing with it. 40 and 4 cubits. A cubit is a really subjective measurement. It's from the middle of the arm here, right at the break, to the middle of the palm here. If a guy's tall like Kevin, his cubit's going to be a lot bigger. Yeah. So, what does that talk about? Talks about the depth of what this wall is and how this wall is not going to need it to be protect or do anything. In our terms, in American terms, it's 72 meters. That's probably the thickness of the wall. And you can look at that and try to average it out to 3 feet, 210 feet, or whatever, whatever. But what's interesting about this is talking about this thickness, the thickness. The thickness of the wall, 44 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. Well, John is there kind of helping measure with the angel and recording it and doing that with him. The same distance, a mile is a mile, to a man or an angel, doesn't matter. A foot is a foot. To a man or an angel, the measurements are all equal, all the same. Shows how God puts it all together. He doesn't want to confuse us too much, even though it's very hard to understand some of this. Verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. You see right through it. I'll never understand that in this life. Because like I said, humans, we're rather private. We don't like to talk about ourselves. We don't like to talk about things in the family. We're kind of private. But then everything's going to be open for everybody to see. Like the commentator said, why need privacy when we're with the Lord? And we're glorified and our minds and our bodies are so unique and probably will be communicating totally differently than we are. Then I thought about this. Okay, well, the walls are 210 feet and the angels are placed out front to protect it from what? Maybe there's a remnant of people left over after the millennium. And after they're still alive, so they haven't died in their sins. After the millennium, going into eternity, there still may be a remnant left over. Well, if you're remaking the entire earth and there's no water, we talked about no water, right? No more sea, no water whatsoever. Well, our bodies are, they won't make it. They won't be able to exist in an environment in those human bodies, those old bodies that now are outdated and dysfunctional in the new system, the new recreated world, they will not be able to live. And a lot of the scholars said, no, there won't be a remnant making it through until this time. Those angels are not out there protecting. They're just going to serve the Lord. And as we see in a moment, the gates are open all the time. All the time. There's no security. There's no need for security. We don't have to lock it all up tight. Now, every night, we leave the theater. We lock up a safe. We lock the doors. We go back here and lock the doors, and just before we finish locking, we set our security system. We have to have a security system, but guess what? God is the security system in the New Jerusalem. We don't need it. There's no one that's going to attack us. There's no one that's going to do anything wrong or awful. And all of us know what's going on at all and any given time. Now, let's put this into perspective how we started this lesson today. Brother Bob Williams, God bless him, Pastor Smith from Arkansas, large constituency of the Coleman family, and others that lost their lives, they're experiencing a wonderful situation with the Lord right now. And they are in that point where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more death for them. They're right now in glory with the Lord. We grieve the loss of them, and I mourn the loss of their family and all of these that we kind of knew. But there's the other side of me that says, I'm so happy they're with Jesus. And that's why we as Christians need to rise up today. This is a call to arms. That we, once again, start sharing our faith with other people. Because we never know if it's going to be the last time they're going to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't know if they could leave our building or our place or in our presence after being with us. And that could be the last time that we will ever see them or anyone will ever see them. And they're going to go and to be in the presence of the Lord or maybe not make it. And it may depend on if we're willing to do what it takes to try to rescue people. David Griffin, one of the young people out there in the boat, sings for Clay Cooper. Some of you read about his story. And he didn't publish his story. He didn't want to say anything. He's just a young person. And when they saw the boat going down, and he waits on the boat out there and busses table and serves food, and then he sings at Clay Cooper's at night. Everyone's working other jobs. That boat was going down. He took it on himself. Somebody's got to do something. He took off his apron, jumps into the water with his friend. They swim out there. Now, they can't swim. These swells are up about 7-8 feet high. You saw that. And they can barely make it out there, almost drowning themselves to make it out there. And they pulled two people out. But they were in the water about 25 minutes. We don't hear about some of these heroic things. Now, the story would be so great if they pulled them out and rescued them and they were saved. No, they didn't make it. Those people didn't make it. But these people were willing to put their lives on the line to save some folk, to help. Christian, that's what we got to start doing. We got to get serious. The Bible tells us we have to pull them out. We have to rescue them. It's this picture of the storm that's going on in the world today. We have to share the love of Christ with people. We have to pull them out of their sin and iniquity into a new life that's blessed and holy unto God. We have to rescue the perishing. We do. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I know this last week, some of you probably were thinking about your own mortality, of how life is short, how it comes quick. Sometimes the end hits us very quickly. But in the meantime, the Bible tells us that as Christians, we're lights and we're salt. And we do not hide our light under a bushel. We let the light shine. We share the good news of Jesus Christ because we have the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. So, as a Christian today, and I'm preaching to you Christians, I'm asking you to take this moment right now to make a recommitment back to the Lord. To come back to Him. And renew your vows with the Lord. And your covenant with the Lord. That you will promise to live for Him. That you will stop sinning if there's sin in your life. That you will continue to walk in faith and newness of life every day. And you will share the good news of Christ with as many people as you can. You will stand for what's good and what's right. And let Christ live in your life every day. Take a moment now, just in the quietness is this moment to renew your vow with the Lord, your covenant with Him. And then I'll close in prayer. The storm came up quickly and suddenly. They said no one had time to do anything. It overwhelmed them. Some people think at the last moment, I'll just cry out to the Lord and He'll save me. Could happen if you have a moment, but you may not have a moment. Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Dave, if I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. But I want to have that faith and peace that Tia Coleman had and has. That peace that passes all understanding, that no one can understand it. Only God knows. That in the midst of the storm, I call out and cry out to You, God. Because I know You'll be there. If you're here today, you don't know for certain that you'd go to heaven if you died right now. But you say, Brother Dave, today the message got me. I want Jesus. I want to make sure that I've got the Lord in my life. I want to make sure that I'll go to heaven. If you're like that, you've never done this before, but today the Lord spoke to your heart. No one's looking. I'm looking. Would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. I would like to pray and accept Christ today as my Savior. Anyone at all, just slip your hand up and put it down. Lord, I thank You that the peace that passes all understanding comes from You. And Lord, in the midst of this horrible tragedy, we find truth in You and hope in You. We pray a special blessing on the families that lost loved ones, and we thank You for the souls that were saved. But bless Branson today and encourage us all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Now, Mayor Best posted something online that at 3 o'clock today at the College of the Ozarks there will be a special service for the families and loved ones that were lost. I think they have some pastors, and they're going to have some music, and it'll be a time of healing. If you want to go over there, I believe it's at 3 o'clock at the College of the Ozarks. I think it's in the chapel there. So that's going on today. But just make sure you check before you go over there, but I believe that they posted this and said they're putting this together for 3 o'clock today. I want everyone to stand. We're going to have communion here in a moment. It's an open table. I want you to stay for a moment, if you can, and we'll celebrate the Lord's table. Just takes a moment. There is a bucket also on the way out. If you're able to help with our ministry, we say thanks. We're not going to pass the bucket and embarrass anybody, but if you're able to help, and we do have some specific needs here at the theater, we say thank you. Thank you so much for helping us. Also, didn't our singers and worshipers do a great job? Good job for us. Good job, Tam. I love that song, and you did really well. I know it was tough that Tam did so well on that. And Gary, you played so well. We love you, brother. Love you, man. Thank you. Thank you for doing it. Now, next week we have Bernie and Mikey back with us, so remember them in prayer if they're on the road and so forth this week. We have a few prayer requests. Beth came to me and said her mom, Erna, fell this week, and she's in a nursing home right now. So let's remember Bevy's mom. Lift her up to the Lord. And her dad's not doing so well either. And just lift them both up to the Lord. They're in their 90s. We want to remember Franny. She's doing well, but she's here today, and we love her so much. Larry and Fran are like family to us. And just want to lift Fran up to the Lord, that God's going to keep touching her. She's had a couple of TAs and some strokes, and let's just pray that God's just going to touch her body in Jesus' name. Let's remember Justin. Jim's son, he had a turn for the worse this week. They put him back in ICU. They put him back on a ventilator. They also are trying to get him off the ventilator, and they're working with him. So let's just pray that God will touch him. He's struggling. It's a tough thing. Want to remember Lynn and Debbie, and Richard and Bonnie Jenkins. I think Debbie's here today. It's just good to have her always here. Lynn is, I stopped by and saw him this last week. He's doing okay. He's hanging in there. But he's lost some weight. He fell and broke his shoulder. And so just lift him up to the Lord. Richard seems to be doing okay. We'll just lift them up to the Lord. And remember Debbie and Bonnie, and God will bless them. Bill, we saw him the week before, and he's fighting the dementia. It just seems to be worsening. Let's lift him up to the Lord, that God will just touch him. Teddy Higginbotham, Wanda's brother, just pray for him, that guy, or his cousin. Teddy Higginbotham, his cousin, still trying to fight this multiple myeloma. Also lift up Wanda to the Lord. She's still struggling. It's a tough time for her and Bill during this time. Donna Quested, that God will just bless her. And she's doing dialysis and everything now. But let's just lift her up to the Lord, that God's going to touch her. The Carols, that God's going to bless them. Lou Liz and Kim Kelly, that God will just touch them and give them strength. And they're still part of this ministry, even though they're afar. And Scott's still there in California. Just God will touch them. Leon's not able to come out in this this muggy weather, but just pray that God's going to bless him and touch him. We miss him. Sodi, just a crop that God will just continue to give her strength in her body. Remember Bernie and Bernie's brother that was lost this week in the family, that God will just surround them and touch them. Let's just lift them up. Tammy Felton and Denny Felton, that God will continue to bless them and encourage them. Once again, lift up Pat Kopecky's mother, or Pat Kopecky. She's lost her mother this last week, and that God will just touch them and be with them. And once again, be with Joe and the Tinoco family, that God will just encourage them and lift them all up to the Lord. Dwayne Teal, we have a praise report. He's doing better. Back home, he wanted to tell the church, thank you for all the prayers. He's in Texas, our Texas buddy, that God's just going to continue to strengthen him. He was very, very sick and infected, and his blood was infected. But now he's on the right track, and they think that he's going to have a full recovery. He's at home right now. But he said, tell the church thank you for the prayers. So let's give all these to the Lord. We've listed them all. And let's give them to the Lord, and then we'll do communion after we dismiss. Lord, we thank you so much that you're the living God, and you're the God that hears. And Lord, this week has been tough on everybody, especially the Coleman family, and we can't fathom it. But Lord, you bring the peace that passes all understanding. It's not even realistic to understand how these people are coping, but they are. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will grant them complete peace and comfort in their hearts during the grieving process, that you will lift them up and strengthen them all. And Lord, for the town that has even experienced the loss of some of their loved ones, I pray, Lord God, that you will bless them and encourage them. For others that have lost loved ones recently, Lord, just be with them. Those that are sick and infirm, that you'll touch them in Jesus' name. But Lord, I pray that as a body, as the bride, we will perform the duties that you've called us to. That we will share the good news of Jesus Christ. We will remain pure and holy and righteous and walk with you each and every day. I thank you for the book of the Revelation. I pray as we continue studying, Lord, you'll open our minds and hearts. So bless us now. We ask this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Good morning. God bless each and every one.